children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. This is Darian Sahanaja of the band known as Wonderments, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear about how New York didn't get many of its important climate bills through the legislature this session, but they did get one through, the Utility Thermal Energy Network and Jobs Act. This would get geothermal energy projects started in New York, according to Bill Nowak of the New York Geothermal Energy Organization, which we'll hear from this morning, and we'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and local Better Weather the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Connection and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
Nick Lowe and Los Straitjackets perform June 15th at Colony Cafe in Woodstock. Find out more about the Nick Lowe Los Straitjackets show on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. It's at 8 p.m. on June 15th at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Republican incumbent state senator Daphne Jordan has ended her re-election campaign, though her name will still be on the August 23rd primary ballot in what will be the 44th Senate district. Redistricting placed Jordan and another incumbent, Republican Senator Jim Tedesco, in the same district. Jordan currently represents the 43rd district, which includes Rensselaer County and part of Columbia County. Senate Minority Leader Robert Ort had backed Jordan's bid for the 44th district, but Tedesco received support from Saratoga County Republicans. Jordan claimed Tedesco had created a, and I quote, circus atmosphere, end quote, in the election. Jordan said, and I quote, I'm not going to play a political game that would be destructive, divisive, and undermine the principles that I care deeply about, end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Diane Pinheiro Zucker is reporting for the Daily Freeman that with less than a day to go before the Saugerties Town Board decides the fate of the Father's Day weekend gun show at the Kiwanis Ice Arena, venue manager Rob Klegman says the show will happen, while town supervisor Fred Costello disagrees. In a conversation on June 14th, Costello said he wants to honor the show organizers' last-minute cancellation announced last week. He said, quote, I have the feeling I have the support of the board, unquote, to finally put the kibosh on the new East Coast Arms Collectors Associates Arms Fair at the Kiwanis Arena on June 17th, 18th, and 19th. Until the board takes a vote, however, Klegman said he is expecting the show will go on. The ice arena is town property. Costello has said he hoped the town board would agree to refund the arms fair's down payment for the show, as he promised the group's president. Last week, the gun show was canceled, quote, by mutual agreement between the town and the promoter, unquote, according to a joint press release from Costello, David Petronis, president of NEACA, and Saugerties police chief Joseph Sinagra. The decision to cancel was made following a June 8th meeting between the three men. In the press release, Petronis said he had agreed to the cancellation, but on June 10th, he changed his mind. Quote, at this point, I am asking the town board to disregard my statement that I will cancel the gun show, but rather that I will be allowed to continue with my contract as written and of your agreement, unquote, Petronis wrote in an email. Costello and Petronis's change of heart was based on a belief that, quote, controversy equals customers, unquote, the supervisor said. Quote, he thinks he's going to have a successful show at our expense. He really doesn't care about Saugerties. He just wants to make as much money as possible, unquote. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Representative Elise Stefanik, one of the Republicans who voted against certifying the 2020 presidential election results, despite no evidence of voter fraud, will be in Greene County on June 16. Stefanik will attend a fundraiser for State Assemblymember Chris Teague at Furlong's Pub and Motel in East Durham. It is also Teague's 53rd birthday. Teague, a Republican, is running for re-election in the 102nd Assembly District against Democrat Nicholas Chase, a substitute teacher from Delaware County.
Henry Rossoff reports for News 10 Albany that with roughly a week to go before early voting begins, a PIX 11 Emerson College The Hill poll shows Governor Kathy Hochul heavily favored to win the Democratic nomination in the gubernatorial race, and U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin favored to claim the Republican nomination. Gun violence and inflation are the top issues for voters in both parties, although there is disagreement about the underlying causes. Hochul is the choice of 57% of the Democratic voters surveyed. U.S. Representative Tom Suozzi were chosen by 17%, and the New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams was picked by 6%. 20% of those surveyed were undecided. Among GOP voters, Zeldin is the choice of 34%. Tied for second place is Rob Astorino at 16%, and businessperson Harry Wilson at 15%, and Andrew Giuliani at 13%. 22% are undecided. Gun violence remains a top issue for voters in both parties. 90% of Democrats and 79% of Republicans say they are very or somewhat concerned. The Republicans surveyed consider mental health issues to be the source of the violence, with only 10% believing that gun access alone is the main cause. Democrats point to guns as the main cause 30% of the time, or consider the violence as a combination of mental health and gun access 51% of the time. Voters of both parties share a bleak outlook when it comes to inflation and rising costs, with Republicans more concerned than Democrats. The poll was conducted on June 9th and 10th and of 1,000 voters. Read more at news10.com.
Kenneth C. Crowell II reports in the Times Union that State Supreme Court Justice Patrick J. McGrath ruled in favor of the town of Nassau in Rensselaer County last week to shut down a large junkyard spread across four properties and will receive $509,000 in civil penalties. The judge ruled the state of Barbara Sector and its executor, Stephen B. Naley, violated a 2011 zoning ordinance that outlawed the junkyards in town. Supervisor David Fleming said on June 13th, and I quote, "This latest court decision follows a decades-long effort to clean up illegal junkyards to bring properties into compliance. Successive town boards have been clear. There is one set of laws in Nassau, and they apply equally to everyone," end quote. The judge ruled that the properties be cleaned in 30 days, with no more dumping, and that the property owners are forever banned from operating junkyards at the four locations, and that the town gets legal fees and $509,000 in civil penalties within 60 days. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And residents in the city of Hudson are mourning the loss of Sheila Ann Ramsey, age 83, an educator and child care professional. Ramsey was born Sheila Williams in Hudson in 1938. She graduated with high honors from Hudson High School in 1956. She married Richard Ramsey, her third husband, in 1975, and they joined their blended families until his passing in 1997. Ramsey made it her life's work to nurture the community's youth, and working along with her good friend Jean Cobb, she served for more than 40 years as a teacher, financier, and parent counselor at Hudson City Daycare. Ramsey also served as a representative of Hudson's 4th Ward on the Common Council for 9 years. She was appointed by then-Mayor Richard Tracy in 2007 and subsequently re-elected multiple times. Tracy said at the time, quote, "I think Sheila has longevity here, and her connection with the constituents in the ward put her as more of a front-runner," unquote. Her obituary noted that throughout her life, she, quote, "loved dancing, music, parades, jazz festivals, and drum corps competitions. She leaves a legacy of love and a lifetime of memories. She will be greatly missed," unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Perry L. Novak reports in the Times Union that the Ichabod Crane Riders won the Class B State High School softball title last weekend. They won definitively, beating DePue 14-2 in the semifinals and then Chenango Valley 12-0 in the title game. The team finished the year undefeated. Ichabod Crane only allowed other teams to score 13 runs all season. Both the semifinal and final games were ended early due to the mercy rule. The team also got state titles in 2018 and 2021. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 81 degrees. Wednesday night, isolated showers after 2 a.m. It will be partly cloudy with a low of around 60 degrees. And on Thursday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 78 degrees. And scattered showers and thunderstorms for Thursday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 65 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wednesday, June 15th. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including all sorts of live shows, including at 11 a.m., Mayuka Fujina is live from the WGXC Acra studio with her Mirage Station show. Then we head down Route 23 to Catskill at noon after the local news for the Dazzled Radio Hour. 2 hours broadcast live from Main Street in Catskill from Spike's Record Rack, the record store that Spike Priggen owns and hosts his radio show in. At 4 p.m., we're live from Acre with the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 7 p.m., we're live from New York City with the Off the Hook Show from the 2600 Hacker Collective. simulcast on WBAI in New York and on WGXC in the Hudson Valley. 8 p.m., we're heading to Hudson with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanevskaya and Rock and Roll High School. At 10 p.m., we're live from Ulster County with Jeff Economy and Snack Point Charlie. And then at midnight, we're live again from Ulster County with Peter Aaron and his Go Go Kitty show, simulcast from Radio Kingston and also heard on WGXC until 2 a.m. on 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The 14-piece Hudson Valley-based brass band Brasskill performs on June 17th at the Opus 40 landmark location in Ulster County. The massive earthwork by Harvey Fight is hosting performances all summer, and the Brasskill 14-piece Hudson Valley Brass Band is one of those. They're performing at around 5:30 p.m. on June 17th. You can find out more information about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXE welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXE, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXE and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, June 15th. Early morning temperatures range from 54 degrees in Medusa to 60 in Germantown. Soil temperature has risen to 64 degrees. Conditions are dry all the way down to 20 inches. Today ends a little cloudier than it starts, but still sunny throughout with a high of 82 happening at 3 p.m. Overnight, chances of rain arrive and we'll see a low of 61. Thursday, rain chances persist and some storms could be seen, especially in the afternoon. A high of 77. Happens at 4 p.m. A muggy 65 degrees overnight takes us into a Friday with still some more chances of rain and a high of 82. The weekend so far looks comfortable and dry. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:55 a.m., then low tide at 11:01 a.m., high tide again at 4:33 p.m. and low tide once again at 11:03 p.m. Today's river temperature will be around 74 degrees. Calculations could be off by a little bit because the sensor that I normally base this data on is on the Fritz. So anybody over there in Skodak, please go kick it over. Sunset today will be at 8:18 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see a light coronal mass ejection impact was felt early this morning. No magnetic storms were generated, but reverberations could cause them as the day progresses. Solar wind speed is currently 593 kilometers per second at 10.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 121. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sean Mooney of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music pick and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with Music for the Masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC Afternoon Show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish Show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
To music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
Are wagging, our hearts are dragging. Everybody knows we're all washed up. We've been so distant, so inconsistent. We made a mess of this love. People who see us all wanna flee us. They don't wanna get too close. Dissatisfaction, it could be catching. Nobody wants a dose. When a piece of the sky falls, everybody run for cover. Go on and tell each other the way that people do. When a piece of the sky falls, doesn't fall on you. When we go in town, people all look down. They don't want to meet our glance. They feel so foolish, we look so ghoulish. Casualties of a bad romance. The air just buzzes, whys, wheres, and whases. Everybody has a theory. The town is humming, who saw it coming? Everyone but you and me. When a piece of the sky falls, everybody run for cover. Go on and tell each other the way that people do. When a piece of the sky, the love gets flattened. Who knows why these things happen? Just hope that it doesn't fall on you. When a piece of the sky falls, everybody run for cover. Hold on to each other the way that people do.
tune in or turn out for Catskills' Amy Rigby, Friday, June 17th. She'll be at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, performing from 8 to 10 p.m. And WGXC will have a live webcast and a broadcast on 90.7 FM if you can't make it in person to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. June 17th, this Friday, from 8 to 10 p.m., Catskill's Amy Rigby will be performing live at the Avalon Lounge and on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Catskill's Amy Rigby has a new song out in 2020 called Here It Is Saturday. It's for a project called the Raymond Chandler Project, a collection of short stories and songs inspired by a list of unused titles of Raymond Chandler.
Sunday was a drag. I thought things couldn't possibly get worse. But Monday I was right there on the brink. Could barely fix a drink. I may have booked a hearse. Said Tuesday still felt cursed, and Wednesday sucked. By Thursday we were well and truly thought Friday was the end. I prayed it all would end. Dear God, please let it end. But here it is Saturday. Here it is Saturday. There's something about Saturday, I get back up again. Here it is Saturday. Here it is Saturday. I'm stronger on Saturday. Can't let the bastards win. Took one look at my phone and I was toast. Damn Monday, I could not get out of bed. Did evil in my head. God's a crazy game show host. Blue Tuesday called a friend. Wednesday they died. Thursday I felt like dirt, cause it hurt my pride. I wish the world would stop. Somebody make it stop. I need this pain to stop. Couldn't possibly get worse.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
For myself, I'm comfortable with the framework, and if the legislation ends up reflecting what the framework indicates, I'll be supportive.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he supports a bipartisan gun safety framework and will likely vote for legislation that reflects it. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said in a news conference he plans to pass a bill before the July 4th recess.
The agreement was something many believed was not possible just a few weeks ago, but Democrats and a good number of Republicans said we'd have to try.
A gunman opened fire inside a building where more than 250 children and staff were starting summer camp in Duncanville, Texas, Monday. Officers shot and killed the attacker. Kim Craven with the National Association of Women Law Enforcement Executives says her organization has been advocating for stricter background checks and measures to prevent people with a history of domestic abuse or other types of violence from accessing firearms.
We have a lot of research at our fingertips that we can reflect on and come together and create programs and strategies to reduce the number of gun deaths that are occurring across our nation.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed a bill this week allowing Ohio school districts to arm employees with guns. Meanwhile, the House passed a bill Tuesday to provide around-the-clock security protections to family members of Supreme Court justices, sending the measure to President Biden's desk. At a union convention in Philadelphia Tuesday, President Biden talked about his administration's plan for the economy, addressed record-high inflation, and contrasted his economic plans with Republican proposals.
Wall Street didn't build this country. Middle class built this country. And unions built the middle class.
The president will visit Saudi Arabia in July, including a meeting with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The announcement drew scrutiny from human rights advocates. Poor People's Campaign co-chair Reverend William Barber says his June 18th Moral March on Washington will put the spotlight on poverty and the plight of low-wage workers.
Billionaires made $2 trillion during the pandemic while 8 million more people fell into poverty.
The January 6th committee postponed its Wednesday hearing, slated to review former President Trump's efforts to pressure the Justice Department to investigate his unfounded claims of election fraud. Trump released a written rebuttal to the committee's testimony and evidence, accusing Democrats of seeking to distract the public from serious domestic issues facing the country. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. The broadcast law blog reports that the Federal Communications Commission is back with its monthly public meeting in July in person. The FCC closed its old office building to outside visitors on March 12, 2020 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The agency has since moved to a new building. Axios reports that things are not all back to normal, though. The FCC is still a commissioner short, locked in a 2-2 tie between Republicans and Democrats, so nothing much can get accomplished. Quote, Biden was historically slow in picking his nominee, unquote, Gigi Sohn, Axios reports, who was nominated last October and has yet to get a full confirmation vote from the U.S. Senate. Quote, the absence of effort from the White House to see this through by pushing a nominee through is frustrating beyond belief, unquote, one anonymous advocate for progressive radio policies told Axios. They report that President Joe Biden does not yet have the votes to get his nominee through, with Democrat Joe Manchin undecided and Democrat Mark Kelly still evaluating her nomination. Sohn authored the net neutrality legislation and is considered a progressive Democrat. By comparison, former President Donald Trump promoted former FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai to chair less than a week after taking office and got Brendan Carr confirmed for the Republican majority seat by August in his first year. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news. Jaded Azarides is Columbia County poet Karen Schomer and legendary bass player Mike Watt from the Minutemen. This is from their 2021 record, Forthright. The song is called An Adult in His Own House is Also a Child.
He runs up the stairs two at a time. His hand skims the banister. His small boots leave dirt. His mother calls from the kitchen, but he doesn't answer. He needs to find something in his room, the one thing that will prove to his friend he isn't a liar. He looks in plastic bins filled with action figures and trading cards, but it isn't there. He looks under the bed where he stuffs unfinished homework and soiled clothes he doesn't want his mother to find. He opens the closet door, and there's so much stuff. Boxes and suitcases rammed into piles. Outgrown coats. Cracked leather shoes. His father's old suits. Funeral clothes draped in tissue paper. That the act of looking becomes a mountain. The house becomes a mountain house, craggy and peaked, damp and smelling of old leaves and metallic water. He is lost here. He needs a path out of this damp, dripping place, threaded with black streams that lead deep underground. He climbs and the way is steep, the earth loose and strung with thick roots. He finds a toehold on a boulder and drags himself onto a ledge. Breathless, he scrambles for a vantage, loses his balance and tips forward on sheer, glistening rocks.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Bill Nowick, who is the executive director of the New York Geothermal Energy Organization. And while many climate activists were not particularly happy with the results of the recent state legislative session, one area where the legislature did act in support of was with, expansion and support for geothermal energy. So, Bill, maybe you could just tell us what were some of the good things, that did happen for geothermal, and what does that mean for people?
Sure. And I don't want to leave your listeners with the impression that we thought it was all victory. Some of those things that you mentioned were a real failing, the one being the All-Electric Building Act in particular. At this point, heating buildings is the main source or the largest source of greenhouse gases in New York State. And the fact that the legislature couldn't get it together to stop using fossil fuels in new builds is really going to set us back. That being said, there were a few very good pieces of legislation that passed this year, one of which was the geothermal tax credit. This is a bill that we've been working on since back in 2015, and it finally passed. It provides a $5,000 tax credit for geothermal systems installed on residential properties, and we think this is a really important recognition of the most efficient form of fossil-free heating that exists at this point and will be a nice stimulus to the market. The
other piece, just jump in here for a second.
Sure.
When you say geothermal in context of this bill, do they also include things like air heat pumps, or what do they define as geothermal?
Well, a geothermal installation is one that includes a source of heat being either the ground or a water body, or even in the case of wastewater pipes that can be a source and a sink of heat. And then that's connected with heat pumps that are inside the building, in this case, a residential building, that concentrate and focus that heat and magnify it for use within the building. And the same system, of course, can be used for air conditioning in the summer. It's basically a highly efficient, reversible air conditioner that's connected to the constant temperature of the earth.
So the answer would be no, air heat pumps are not included.
Oh, for in the geothermal tax credit. No, I'm sorry. I didn't understand that to be your question.
Okay. And the second bill also passed, I understand.
Yes. And this is the official title, the Utility Thermal Energy Network and Jobs Act. And for a long time now, the utility companies have been trying to figure out their role relative to renewable heating. Some of them have set up some pilot programs. Some of them have proposed pilot programs that have been rejected as part of utility rate cases. And this bill opens up the door for utilities to begin getting involved with district systems for renewable heating. So this would be more than one building that would be connected to a renewable heating system, which would be basically the geothermal system that I was just describing, either connected to the earth or connected to a body of water or some water pipes or another heat source. And it's seen as a very, very positive bill in that it opens up this space to the utility companies. It opens it up to organized labor, which has been concerned about the transition going from jobs that are largely unionized to jobs that aren't. And it also puts it in the hands of the Public Service Commission to do some pilot projects and to really come out with a program that will include both private companies that want to get involved with this and also utility companies.
You know, I read the bill memo this morning, and it talked about removing legal barriers to utility development of the thermal energy networks. And maybe you could explain, you know, briefly what some of that was. And I know in New York State there's been this, you know, issue of, you know, utilities have not been allowed to own renewables, supposed to have independent, you know, producers doing that. And that's been a big fight. And sort of ironically, the state legislature failed to pass the bill to try to get NYPA to expand its ownership of, you know, renewable energy. So was that what were some of the legal barriers this bill was seeking to overcome? And
yeah,
I also saw that they are directing the Public Service Commission to actually look at some of the ownership issues.
Yeah, the laws, as they currently stand, basically define a utility as a gas utility, an electric utility, or a steam utility. So what this act does is it allows a thermal network to be kind of a fourth element in addition to electricity, gas, and steam. So it basically opens up that space to the utilities.
And you mentioned there's been some pilot projects already going on. I know that National Grid and I think Aztec Geothermal have been doing something or trying to do something, starting to do something in the Sheridan Hollow neighborhood in Albany. You know, what are some of the other pilot projects that may already be underway or being contemplated?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of them in Massachusetts. There's an organization called HEAT in Massachusetts that's been working closely with a couple of utilities there, and they're fairly far along in their planning and execution on a couple of systems there. And then in New York State, there was one that was done on Long Island by National Grid several years ago that was a very interesting process. You know, our folks looked at it and thought, yes, it was positive in that it saved the homeowners their money and provided them with clean energy. And at the same time, it maybe wasn't the most efficient layout doing it as a district system. It might have been more sensible just doing it as individual loops for each of the homes in that case. But in any case, National Grid did that as a pilot program and has seen it as being a very successful example of weaning people off oil.
Now, at the national level, you know, President Biden recently issued an order, which a lot of it was focused on trying to deal with stopping this fight over tariffs from solar panels coming into the United States and allowing solar to expand more quickly. But he also basically used his powers under the Defense Production Act, which you're allowed to do in emergency situations, to direct manufacturers, I guess, to build more e-pumps. You know, what are some of the things that are going to happen, you know, related to your industry or your group as a result of Biden's action?
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. In many cases, when people say heat pumps, they mean air source heat pumps. And, you know, that kind of rankles us because geothermal heat pumps are the most efficient form of heat pumps. So we still have to see. We're looking to understand if Biden's order will include geothermal heat pumps, and we're certainly hopeful that it will. But in any case, you know, to make the transition in New York State, we are going to need many, many more both geothermal and air source heat pumps installed than at the current rate we're doing it. So what this Defense Production Act does, as I understand it, is it basically guarantees the sale of heat pumps or whatever object the act is applying to, so that manufacturers will have a guarantee that if they produce more heat pumps, they're going to be sold either in the marketplace or the government's going to take them up. And so this is going to really encourage manufacturers to increase production. And when you do that, you get economies of scale, and presumably we're going to have lower priced heat pumps coming out as a result. And this would be a real win-win across the country, but especially in New York, which is really paying attention to the impact of the heating sector at this point.
I'll be talking with Bill Nowak, Executive Director of New York Geothermal Energy Organization. Bill, how can people find out more about geothermal and what you guys are up to?
I encourage folks to write to us at nygeoinfo@gmail.com. And then our website is ny-geo.org.
Talking to Bill Nowak, and this has been Mark Dunley with the Hudson Mohawk magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Was Farfisa Gnome Fish Chord from Catskills' Rodney Allen Greenbat from his 2021 album To Just Be.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Interesting, boring, really, 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 really boring.
It would be about wonderful things. It would be about
chocolate pigs.
So she's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Really, they're awesome.
All the way down.
I turned it down.
that down. Only dogs can hear.
Turn his.
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A federal appeals court has given voters in Louisiana a break, lifting a lower court stay and forcing the Louisiana legislature to draw new, fairer congressional voting district maps, which don't dilute the power of majority black communities. Back in March, Governor John Bel Edwards vetoed a gerrymandered congressional map, which chopped up majority black areas to dilute their vote, but the overwhelmingly Republican legislature overrode the veto. The Washington Post reports that Bel Edwards argues that there should be two majority black districts out of six because the state is two-thirds African American. Lifting the stay may only be temporary good news. In its statement, the appeals court panel urged a full appeal, citing weakness in proving that the map wasn't a racial gerrymander. They signaled a willingness to hear the full case in July. Meanwhile, Bel Edwards last week called a special session of the legislature for June 15th to the 20th to draw new maps. Louisiana's Republican Secretary of State, Kyle Ardoin, is at odds with his Democratic governor, having argued that the maps weren't really gerrymandered. Ardoin says he will comply while the ruling is in effect, but it's unclear whether Louisiana's legislature will appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Links to articles and organizations working on Louisiana's redistricting are available at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Granny D said, "Democracy is not something we have, it's something we do." For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Talents through and through. Oh, little this time we pass our knowledge on to you. Ooh, little sun-kissed child, what future wonders you will see. A universal playground with endless possibilities.
Than hate.